Hello and welcome to Women as a Driving Engine for Sustainable Business of Tomorrow podcast series. The series that shines a light on the journey, on the challenges, and the triumphs of women entrepreneurs from all walks of life. This podcast series is a result of the Erasmus Plus funded project EyeWear, abbreviation for Empowering Young Entrepreneurs Women with Education and Additional Resources. It's a project implemented within the time frame March 2024 to August 2025. The partners behind this project are Ici à l'heure from La Réunion, France, MVD from the Netherlands, and STP from Zaragoza, Spain. I'm your host, Lilia Terzieva, and I'm so excited to have you join us today. Whether you're just starting out or well on your way in your entrepreneurial journey, the podcast is here to inspire, guide, and hopefully empower you. Today, we have a very special guest. She's an incredible entrepreneur who's made waves in innovation design, known for her resilience, passion, and drive. Please welcome Esmee Messemaker, the founder of Allodea. Thank you so much for joining us today, Esmee.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Great. I'm excited to have you too. Let's dive in. So, to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to start Allodea?
Of course. So my background was initially industrial design engineering, and I think a lot began there. So we started to be very creative, designing products, but also photographing them. And that's actually how I got my first camera, mirrorless camera. And I started taking it outside as well, and on holiday, and started to make so many photographs that I thought eventually, like, I should do something with this. I feel there is some potential here and I love doing it. So when I continued doing my master's in innovation management at the Technical University in Eindhoven, that's where I decided that instead of going into, a side hustle of horeca, like working at a restaurant or a supermarket, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, as I was also studying, like, how can products and businesses start in markets? How can we accelerate them? So I thought, well, maybe I should become an entrepreneur myself to truly experience it and not just read it from theory. And that's how it started out. And it quickly evolved, as landscape photography isn't that much of a popular business. I started to look into what could I actually be doing as a service, providing it to others. And from there, it evolved to product photography, designing materials, graphic design, but also eventually innovation consultancy, derived from more my master's degree. So yeah, it's really my outlet.
Oh my, that's such a powerful story. But I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably wondering and posing these questions to their mind. Was there a specific moment when you realized this is what I meant to do? Or was it more of a gradual process? How did it go for you?
For me, it was a gradual process. Yeah, so I have initiated another company together with my brother. And from there, we were really feeling inspired. Like, okay, we see that entrepreneurs are sometimes lacking information and they want to get going with their ventures, but how do they get started? What is this whole process? So we also built an online learning environment for aspiring entrepreneurs. And that was something that really happened. Like, okay, this is what we aspire to do. Interestingly enough, we discovered that online learning wasn't that much well received, let's say. So people weren't very interested in the online element of it. I see that actually in my other venture, Allodea, that's something that gradually kind of evolved and is still evolving and pivoting. So yeah, I think those two can be two very different processes with two very different reasons to get going. Yeah.
All right, you already pinpointed a few of these challenges along a road that happens to be bumpy. But could you a little bit more deeply dive into what were some of the biggest challenges you faced as a woman in business, and how did you manage to overcome them?
That's a very interesting question. And it takes me back to actually one of the first encounters that I had when I wanted to start out. And I discussed it with a man, and he immediately told me, like, you want to help entrepreneurs and you don't know nothing about it because you haven't ever started a venture, you haven't been having personnel, would you be able to do this? You know, I'm very much on the person. And it was something that for me kind of hit home. I don't know why, but for me, yeah, that really, I found it a very odd comment from somebody who was also a coach for starting entrepreneurs. And I felt that was the first bump that actually hit, like, right at the beginning. And somehow also made me wonder, like, are women even as well perceived to be entrepreneurs in this society? Or is this a certain vision of who an entrepreneur should be that is still maybe, yeah, more manly, or, you know, more eager to hustle and more money driven compared to, yeah, maybe a softer, like, yeah, service providing way of thinking. So yeah, I think there is already from that, like, encounter, I already felt like, hey, there's a difference here in how maybe starting entrepreneurs and females are welcome,
perceived and welcome. Absolutely. So there was this moment of a trigger, something that got you thinking and reflecting upon your role as an entrepreneur, being a woman. Was there then some kind of a self-doubt? And did this self-doubt come along the way, kind of visionary, thinking ahead of who am I as a woman and what do I do to set up a road for other women as well?
Yeah, I think you hit the mark exactly with that description, especially also being maybe in design, which is not often considered something that is a job even sometimes. Like, it's like, oh, but graphic design, isn't that a hobby? Like, you know, why do you want to make money with that? You know, I feel like there is a way of being perceived in that regard as well. Yeah. So I definitely feel that the way you described it was perfect. I can't add anything to that. Yeah.
Thank you, Esme. It's really interesting how different everyone's journey to entrepreneurship can be. And now starting a business comes with a lot of challenges, and you named quite a few of them. Is there a specific biggest obstacle along this way that you would like to also kind of shed a little bit of light on to help others understand that process a bit better of challenges and bumpy roads?
Yeah, so I love guiding starting entrepreneurs. It's really also one of my passions, and I feel that something we often forget or tend not to do as quickly is to go out there and just do it. Start small. Just get going. Just really initiate whatever it is that you like doing and find out if there's people willing to almost buy it or use it, or, you know, if it's a service or a product, there's a difference there, of course. But start to get going if it's your passion. And it doesn't have to be thought through all the way. Like, just initiate. Adjust accordingly to the input and feedback that you get, but keep going, keep that momentum. And I feel like an overall vision on entrepreneurship, or, like, yeah, it's almost an umbrella that you can put everything underneath, is that you want to find something that is desirable for somebody that wishes to buy it or use it, but also for society. And when we talk about sustainability, like, that could also be fitted underneath desirable. Also something that's viable, because eventually if you want to be an entrepreneur, you will have to also be able to pay for all of your, you know, your rent, your house, but also food. You know, you want to have food on the table. So be sure that you build something that can actually earn you some money, and balance that out with something that you can also create that is feasible, potentially scalable. Doesn't have to be, but, like, these three kind of need to be in a balance in order to build a good venture.
Lovely. You are actually already reading my mind, because I was thinking of a piece of advice that you can directly give our future women entrepreneurs to start up with, and moving, not standing still, taking this experimental nature and becoming part of their being and DNA is an excellent advice. It's so important to keep moving forward, even when things get tough. Speaking of advice, I know a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with balancing their personal lives with the demands of running a business. How do you manage working on that? And do you have any strategies that have worked well for you?
Yeah, so I think there it's also a question of what does the person or what do you want to have as a work-life balance? I know some women who love their career and are working 60 hours a week, you know, and it's more the classical sense of hard work, play hard, you know, that kind of idea. And I think others are sometimes focused on already having a family and wanting to do something next to it or starting up their own business. And then you talk about a very different work-life balance and different needs. So what is it that you want to achieve as a work-life balance and build the business and what you wish for, like, accordingly to make it fit your own work-life balance? I don't think there's anybody telling you how you should do it. If it works for you, it works for you. And if you enjoy it, that's much more important. So for me personally, I would say I work full time, and a couple of tips that I just use is like not looking at my work phone, having a separate work phone, especially as an entrepreneur. Some of these costs, you try to minimize them, but for your own mental health, it's important to try to focus on what is work and what is personal. So separate them and try to see if you can get a startup space or a table within one of these co-working spaces for starting entrepreneurs, so that you also have this moment in a day that you can close off your laptop, that you travel, and then, you know, it also feels like the start of something new when you get home and you have that, your private life focus during that day, like time of the day. Yeah.
Fantastic. Only listening to you, I can imagine how these two worlds intertwine. And at the same time, you always rediscover something that brings back energy and enthusiasm to continue. That is really interesting to dive and to also think about these tailor-made and contextual approaches that come to work-life balance and to the understanding of who you are within that situation and not try to resemble or replicate anyone else's life. Yes, you're still listening to the podcast series of Eyewear, empowering young women entrepreneurs onto their careers, being the drive engine within the Erasmus Plus funded project. But now we are with Esme from Alodea here in the Netherlands, in The Hague, and I'm very curious to ask her the following question. Let's talk a little bit more about the company, about the business, about Alodea. You've built such an amazing brand and business. What sets Alodea apart from others in this innovation design industry? And what's been the driving force behind to this success? Could you share something about your business vision and strategy along that pathway?
Yeah, so I think what sets it apart is that it's like, it truly feels like it's mine. It's also something I do as a freelancer. So it's my own work, which I'm quite like, I'm enthusiastic about it. I like what I do. It's also, for me, often derived from some of the voluntary work that I've been doing. So from there, especially in sustainability, I got to meet people that had amazing product ideas and services that I could help promote. So design your websites or strategy for marketing that I got to help out with. And it felt there was such a personal connection with the people that I worked with, and I feel that's very special and what I love doing as well. So I would say that's maybe my strategy, keeping it personal, keeping it close to my heart with people that I love working with.
I see. But what is also very special about this business, the way you share it and the way I hear it, is that we are talking about an entrepreneur who is there to support other entrepreneurs to start. So I'm very curious, out of all these consultancy, these co-design, collaboratively working with future entrepreneurs and existing ones, were these more women or men, or did it make a difference when you started? And was it something you reflected upon along doing it?
So guiding starting entrepreneurs, mostly men, I would say 90% of the time they're men, which really, struck me eventually. I remember having guided like 40 startups and being two of them were women. where are the women? You know, I wish to really help them. And I think they have a bit of a different outlook on entrepreneurship. And I think they would not quickly themselves even call themselves entrepreneurs or startups or, you know, I think it's much quicker like a freelancer or you know, the idea that they have of a service that they kind of put that service forward instead of themselves saying, hey, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm working on my business. You know, I think there's a different sense in that. Yeah, yeah.
Another interesting pinpointed theme that you're addressing now, the confidence, this self-confidence of women really picking it up and leaving it being entrepreneurs versus men who ideally, even when it's not there yet, they name it and they frame it as being the ones. So something to learn from them here as well. It's clear that you have a real passion for what you do, Esme. But what's next for you and Alodea? Do you have any exciting projects or goals on the horizon?
So I personally shifted a bit more to the academic world, where I'm still helping and guiding more student startups. And also looking into more the research side of things and the theory behind entrepreneurship. So I would say that is currently more my focus, with ambitions to really become more in an academic sense, like maybe with a PhD or through research, getting to know more theory and information and getting information on it. Yeah.
That sounds so exciting, and thank you for sharing it, because this is also an interesting lesson for our future women and current women entrepreneurs who are listening to this podcast series, to really see that what they do can be as well valid and interesting to explore in education and research, and why not, by doing so, taking this level of women entrepreneurship on a completely different paradigm and realm.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And also seeing how that can eventually evolve the business is also going to be very interesting. So what do these new insights give me also as a support for Alodea, and how can that also be evolving alongside of what I'm doing in academia? So I feel that's definitely an opportunity.
Great. I can't wait to see where your take things next. Now, before we wrap it up, I would like to ask a few rapid-fire questions. Are you ready, Esme?
All right.
So let's start. Here we go. What's one book every entrepreneur should read, in your opinion?
The Smart Unconscious by Ab Dijksterhuis. He's actually a researcher in Nijmegen. And he truly, for me, explains unconscious creativity, which is something a lot of people in the past, like he's researching them, like have utilized, like a Picasso, like an Einstein, and how the creation process of ideas actually occurs. And the ways he describes it in the book, it's like, it's great, it's based on theory, but also made fun and interesting to read. So yes, recommendation.
Thank you. Dear listeners, I hope you made a note of it. It's really interesting to explore this unconscious creativity. Let's go to the second. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Start. Just start. Really simple, but it's everything is just going across that starting line, and once you get going, it's like way easier. So I would say start.
Fantastic. We don't have to go back to ancient China, ancient Greece, or following the Kanzen and the Kaizen methodologies of Japan. You just please listen. Start. So, what's your biggest role model or inspiration and still keeps you going in the toughest times?
I don't really have a person. I don't really, look too much at what other businesses are doing. I just feel like looking into what I personally have achieved in the past, where I'm growing towards and how I'm evolving is much, for me, like more of like, hey, sometimes looking back and kind of reflection phase helps me.
Amazing. This is also something very strong. I know that most of us being women stick to something that is already viable, strong, and in unfortunately or fortunately, don't know yet, to some kind of a role model being a man entrepreneur. But how cool can it be to go back to yourselves, to listen to your hearts, to your reflection, to see where you stand strong and take that as your inspiration. It might not be something that that's something that happens from one day to the other, but certainly worth thinking of. Thank you, Esme, for that. So, what's the most important quality an entrepreneur should have? What do you think?
It's the openness that you have to the world, to what is going around you, and it's sometimes in the simplest of things, like just being in the train and sometimes listening to what is being said around you, like seeing opportunities from that, but being open to what's happening, evolving alongside adjustments in the world, whether that's political, whether that is on climate change, social, really be open and work with what you hear.
That's also very strong, Esme, and I guess that's where Alodea also gets it going and has this very much of a unique buying reason for these future entrepreneurs and for what you would do, because being there, actively listening, observing, tuning it in to who you are and what you do, and really relating to one another, and that in a world which living in a silo is a no-go. Fantastic. So last but not least, if you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, this time not to our women entrepreneurs, what would it be, your younger self?
I still feel very young, so... I would say maybe just dare to be creative. I think and still something that I sometimes struggle with. It's not something that we're taught to continue to do after childhood. It's often sometimes more niched or seen as a hobby. And I feel like, I already touched upon that earlier. And I think that creativity is a skill and you can tune into it and develop it and be proud of it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now it bounced on me, as you hear, dear listeners of this podcast series, being young. And I guess that all of you who are now listening and tuning in are thinking, okay, does age matter? Are we all women, young women entrepreneurs? And I guess Esme hit that point very much correctly. We all are young. And the way we look at one another and at ourselves is not age determined. And yes, being creative, letting this inner child come to the forefront and play. Oh, Esme, those were great answers.
Yeah, and I think it's also amazing to see how nowadays even children are becoming entrepreneurs. And the things they design and develop, they're amazing. And I feel like entrepreneurship is of any age. You can do it always. And also maybe even for young entrepreneurs, like I speak many that are beginning 20s that say, no, maybe I won't start my own venture because I first want to get more experience in my field. But if your field is entrepreneurship, again, like start, just go. And you have to explore these different elements of a business to become skilled in them. So also like young entrepreneurs, especially females, like get going. Yeah.
We hear it. We hear it. It resonates. Get going and start. So thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today, Esme. It's been truly inspiring to hear about your journey, your successes and your advice. But before we close, I'm sure our listeners would want to connect with you and learn more about Alodea and your future endeavors. Could you provide us with a little bit of details, whether social media, website or other contact information?
Absolutely. So via LinkedIn, I'm best reachable. So Esme Messemaker, just see if you can find me personally. Then indeed, like web design and creative is Alodea, and consultancy I mostly provide if you reach out to me personally. I would say these are the channels.
Thank you, Esme. And this is also very powerful what you hear. Nowadays, it is not just about a single website. It is not just about a phone number or an email address. It's about platforms. It's about social media channels. So for our dear women entrepreneur listeners, future, current, and future to become, please do not hesitate. Open it up, make yourself a channel, make yourself visible, and go ahead. So thank you again, Esme, for joining us today. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who needs entrepreneurial inspiration. We will be certainly back in our next episode with more stories from incredible women in business. Until then, keep pushing forward and chasing those dreams. Do not forget to check our project resources. This podcast episode has been recorded within the framework of the Eyewear Project, empowering young entrepreneurs women with education and additional resources. Thank you until the next episode.